Hi, my name is Ryan, and welcome to This Amazing Life, the show that brings you people, topics, and ideas that inspire you to live, love, and lead your own amazing life. I believe that my mission in life is to be a source of light and joy for the world. I hope that our time together can give you a little bit more of both. So thank you so much for tuning in, and welcome to the show. Hey, welcome to episode 90 of This Amazing Life. In this episode, you get to hear from my personal friend, RJ Watley, who is the host of the very successful Truck and Hustle podcast, which is all about helping elevate entrepreneurs in the trucking, shipping, and freight business, which happens to be a multi-billion dollar industry every year. Some of the things that we cover in this episode include RJ's perspective on self-improvement and entrepreneurship, how relationships are the most important currency in the world, the power and the future of podcasting, and how your core values really help you stand out and make an impact. Even if you're not in the same industry as RJ, I am confident, I'm positive that there is something in this conversation for everybody to take away, and I'm really glad that you're going to listen. So thanks again for supporting the show, and I hope you enjoy my conversation with my friend RJ. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, I'm actually really excited for this opportunity. I've been networking and meeting a lot of amazing people, but this is the first time that I've actually been able to bring on a friend of mine that I've known for a period of time. And I'd like to introduce to you RJ Watley. RJ, would you like to say hello to the audience?
I'd love to. Hello, audience. How is everybody out there?
RJ and I got connected a few years ago back when I was in a sales role. And RJ was one of my first clients back when I had taken on that sales role. And we had a relationship going on and a friendship going on. And it's such a valuable relationship that I have for bouncing ideas back and forth and just kind of being motivated by each other's success. But the reason why I wanted to have RJ on the show is because RJ is the host of a very successful niche podcast called Truck and Hustle. So RJ, would you like to talk about your business, what your mission is, and who are the people that you serve with your mission?
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you for welcoming me to the show. I do have a podcast, so I'm used to being on the other side of the mic, you know what I mean, and asking all the questions. So forgive me. This is a little bit uncomfortable, you know, being asked questions. But I do my best for you. So like Ryan said, I am the creator and host of Truck and Hustle podcast. It's kind of self-explanatory, but it's not. So Truck and Hustle is basically a podcast and a community for aspiring trucking entrepreneurs and also people who are currently in the trucking industry. So, if you own a truck, whatever niche you're doing, whether you're in an administrative role or you're actually, you know, operating a truck, you know, there's a lot of different niches in trucking. You have people who just haul like general freight. You have car haulers. You have, you know, people who do dump trucks. You have people who do straight trucks, box trucks, you know, all different types of niches within the trucking industry. And then you have the administrative people who do like brokering, like freight brokerage, you know, do dispatching, staffing, you know, which is an industry that I've been in. So what my podcast does is it pulls back the curtains on those businesses and it teaches people, you know, number one, it shares the stories of people who are currently successful or who are getting some type of success at any level. It could be people who have been in business for a year or people who have been in business for 10 years, because I want to kind of touch people at all different levels in the journey. But what it does is it shares those stories with them, and then we kind of get into the business. So we pull back the curtains on the business, the how-tos, and kind of get into the numbers. So we're educating people and we're also inspiring people at the same time to let people know that, look, man, this is possible. This guy, you know, comes from the same place where you come from, or this woman went through some of the same things you went through. And look, they have this business. So it's just it's a podcast to inspire, you know, mostly. But then we really get into the weeds and get into the details and teach people how to start a business. I mean, it's really entrepreneurial driven. It's all about entrepreneurship. And, you know, a lot of my listeners, you know, they may work for somebody right now. You know, our goal is to transition everybody into ownership. And there's nothing wrong with working for somebody because you have to learn. But ultimately, you know, I feel the way to financial freedom and stabilizing your family and your legacy is through entrepreneurship and ownership. And that's kind of what we preach, you know. So that's it. So that's the people who we serve, man. Anybody who wants to get into the trucking community, as you know, right now, especially with this pandemic, the truckers and the trucking community has been kind of like, you know, on Front Street these days, right? You know, even Trump just the other day, you know, had a big thank you to the truckers and everything because they've been keeping the economy and the country going. You know, when everything shut down, you know, they were the essential people out there, along with the nurses and you know, other first responders and so forth and so on. So that showed the importance right there of this industry. It's a $700-800 billion industry. It's been around forever, you know, and I just want to put people in position to have more ownership stake in the businesses that they work in. You know what I mean? So that's what it's about, man. So we have fun. We talk to people. We get the stories. We learn a lot. It's a very comfortable, relaxed platform to where you could feel right at home. You know, we don't try to sound too extra smart. You know, we try to like dumb it down, quote unquote, for lack of better terms, and just make it really comfortable, make you feel really good about learning. You know, that's the whole thing. And just humanize these people who you may feel are out of touch or out of reach. You know what I'm saying? Because one thing I've learned about, you know, entrepreneurship, especially even in my own journey, you know, starting my own business, it's like people who have businesses and have certain levels of success, they want to share. They really want to share. They really want to tell people how they got there. They want to. You know, like they say, it's lonely at the top. You know, sometimes like the higher you get, the less friends you have. And they want to share their stories. They want to help people. You know what I mean? So this is an opportunity for those people to help other people. And, you know, I think the growth that has a lot to do with the growth, because I think it's a void. And a lot of people have been waiting for something like this in this particular niche in trucking. So I'll let you ask some more questions. I don't want to go too far into it.
That's okay. I mean, there's so much that we can unpack from what you said. So let me try to take some of what you said and relay it into the position of somebody who probably might not be as familiar with your business as I am because of our relationship. And also because one of my close friends, his father is actually a driver. So for people who are sitting here trying to put together the pieces, understanding what RJ's business and what his podcast and his education and inspiration platform is all about, it's shipping and freighting of goods and services. So those 18-wheelers you see going down the road, that's what this is all about. And helping people to realize there are so many aspects to this business that even I didn't know. I mean, you could just imagine any industry, and there are so many layers, just like an onion or a cake. Like you mentioned, the administrative side or the driving side or any number of different things. But then also the fact that you have your own journey. This is not necessarily where you started, but you actively made a decision. You saw an opportunity and you said, you know, I want to pursue this because I see this as a way for me to win. And you're seeing success, and now you want to share that success with people on a bigger platform. So can you talk about your background a little bit, how you actually got started in the trucking, the shipping, and the freight business?
I got started, not to date myself or really tell too much of my age. You know what I mean? I'm getting to the age where I don't want to talk about it as much anymore. You know what I mean? But
you don't want to celebrate your birthdays anymore.
You know, I just started to celebrate my children's birthdays now, man. I don't even celebrate mine. But I've been in the trucking industry since about 2002. I got my CDL license in 2004. But the funny thing is I got my license, I passed the test, I got my CDL, but I didn't really want to drive. Like, you know, that I got it because it was a means to an end at the time, right? You know, I was just looking for work and something to do. And I saw that, you know, being a truck driver, you can make like $50,000-$60,000. And at that time, I mean, that felt like a lot of money to me. You know, I said, man, this is something that I could actually, and actually I was on unemployment, and they were offering free CDL classes to where you get your CDL. It was about 6 weeks of training, get your CDL. And I was like, man, you can, you know, you could start a job right away, start a job making $50,000-$60,000. So that sounded great to me. So I did that, but I had to be real with myself. After I got out of school, got my license, I knew that really wasn't for me because I was very uncomfortable behind the wheel. Of course, I could have developed my skills, my skill set, and learned, and you know, probably by now I'd probably be a great driver. But I was very honest with the first job that I went to, the first job offer that I found. When I was talking to the manager there, he was a young guy, probably about 30 at the time, and I was probably I don't know, early 20s or whatever the case may be. And you know, I was really honest with him, and I told him that, listen, man, I'm not really comfortable with driving. I mean, I'll do it because it's a means to an end, but this is not really my thing. So we kind of, we talked and we hit it off. You know, I'm a very personable person. I always like, I'm very inquisitive. I ask a lot of questions. And through that conversation, he kind of let me know that he's like, look, man, you know, we also have a dispatching position here. You know, if that's something you're, you know, I'm just talking to you, seem pretty cool. You seem like you're relatable. And that may be something you're interested. So I'm like, dispatching, like, what's dispatching? He's like, nah, it's not that that difficult, because I've heard of this term before. But just like how you're trying to explain to your audience, you know, what certain things are. I didn't really know what it was, because it wasn't really in my world at that time. I had previous to that, I sold real estate. I had did different things in business, but I never was in the trucking industry. So I didn't know all the terms, or I may have heard some of the terms, but I didn't know exactly what the skill set was for each term, you know what I'm saying? Or what it all encompassed. So he's like, man, it's basically managing the drivers, man. So basically you just be, you know, just talking to the guys, telling them where to go, supervising them, so forth. I said, yeah, I could definitely do that. That sounds cool. So make a long story long, you know, he actually offered me a job as a supervisor, and the job was starting out like $40,000 or $45,000, which was great. I didn't go to school. I didn't go to college, anything like that. So not having a college degree, you know, at that time, like that was everything, you know what I'm saying? So to not have a college degree and to be able to have an entry level position at like $40,000, $45,000 was pretty good, you know, and I don't have to even drive. So I'm like, man, this is like perfect, man. So, and it's funny, I'm going to touch on this while we're talking. I mean, a lot of my relationships and opportunities have all come through like relationships. It's just funny. It's everything's relationship based. I don't think I've ever filled out an application or really had to ask for much. Everything always kind of comes to me, but we'll kind of get back to that. So anyway, he offered me that position. It wasn't the position I went in for, but he offered it to me. And I learned, you know, I learned on the fly. I learned about the trucking industry. And it's funny, because maybe about 2 years in, that particular gentleman who hired me, he actually ended up getting let go by the company because of some other crazy stuff that he was involved in, unbeknownst to me. But I actually ended up running that account. So I actually, because it was a very small account, it was myself, him, and like one other woman who was there. She was like more so administrative. So it was small. Like it was basically in a, they had their main domicile was in Baltimore, Maryland, right? But they had an account at a place called Ball Plastic, which is located in Cinnaminson. And basically what they did was they made the plastic bottles for Pepsi. Right. So they would ship all the plastic bottles. I would see like the containers coming with the resin, and I would actually watch the process of the resin being transitioned into plastic bottles. And then those plastic bottles would go on pallets, 20 pallets, 22 pallets put on a truck. And then they would ship that off to the different Pepsi plants, and those bottles would be filled up with the Pepsi. So that was my entry into the trucking industry. So I learned a lot. I learned, you know, about managing drivers there. I learned about DOT compliance, so forth and so on. I learned about freight brokerage there because, you know, we had empty trucks and we had to get loads for them to come back and different stuff like that. So there's a lot that goes into it. So that was kind of like, you know, where I first kind of learned everything. You know what I mean? Because I was kind of thrown into this position. First, I started learning. By 2 years, I kind of had it down pat. And then I was in a leadership role to where I was actually running the account, because I was pretty much by default, I was the only one there. You know what I mean? Because they let go of this guy and they didn't have anybody to, you know, to replace him right away. So I just kind of stepped in and I ended up running that account. So I did that for a couple of years. Then I ended up going to another big mega carrier company, you know, who I don't give any of these companies any names. I don't name their names, but another company that a lot of people are familiar with. And that was like more of like groceries, and I worked in food services and stuff like that. So I continued, you know, my education, of the transportation industry there, and, you know, also my career. And then, years down the line, I started noticing that a lot of the drivers, that were coming and working for us weren't our drivers. Right. So a lot of, because of, the ebbs and flows and spikes in the industry with freight and volume, a lot of times you'll have a an account where you have a certain amount of drivers. Let's say we have 50 drivers on the account, but there'll be seasonal spikes, like let's say Christmas time, right, to where we need a lot more drivers than we actually have. So what they would do is they would get what they call lease drivers, right? So they would get these lease drivers in from these other companies to come and help, and these drivers would work for us on a long-term period as if they were almost our drivers. They're pretty much our employees, but they weren't our employees. So that was really interesting to me, because I started developing relationships with these lease drivers, and I just started kind of looking at the business model. And I'm like, damn, you know, this company is sending these drivers and they don't have any trucks, right? They don't have any account. Their only account is our accounts and others like it. But all they're doing is just putting warm bodies in the truck and, you know, getting paid for it, right? So I said, I got to look deeper into this. So, you know, I started kind of like looking at the paperwork that they were submitting, and I started kind of, you know, checking out the invoices and stuff like that behind the scenes. Cause I'm just trying to figure out, what are they charging? What are we paying these people? And trying to get an idea of how this business works. And, you know, I did all my research and I just figured, I was like, man, this is a great business model, right? So eventually that's what I did. I left that company and, I started my own, driver leasing company. So that's basically where I got started in business and in driver leasing. And that's where we met, when I was running that business. So that's kind of like, you know, my story. I probably left out some parts, but, I've just been in the industry and around it, for about 18 years now. I've done a little bit of everything. I've kind of, if I wasn't doing it myself, I have experience with it, or I know somebody else who did it. And, you know, that's kind of like my journey through transportation. And I got into driver leasing. That was my thing, you know, my claim to fame, my niche. And that was it. I mean, that kind of brings us, you know, current.
Young guy, dabbled in a number of different opportunities, kind of figured out what worked, what didn't work. Then discovered that there was an opportunity to improve himself through driving, got in, but was realistic about what he felt like was his limitations and still put himself in a place for the opportunity for success, found another opportunity, and then learned and moved up. And through your powers of observation, you found another way to continue to grow and to venture out on your own thing. I mean, there's a lot that people who are in any number of different positions could benefit from everything that you just said, even though they might not be able to relate anything to the trucking business. But the fact that you had the ambition, the drive, the curiosity, the observation skills, and just the sheer determination to elevate yourself is so impressive. Where do you feel that comes from? Is that from a sense of a need to provide for your family? Is it something that you've always had? Is it something that you picked up from a friend or a relative or a mentor? Where did that come from?
You know, and I've always had an entrepreneurial spirit, but I haven't always been an entrepreneur. Like I've throughout my life, I've always worked different jobs, but I've always told myself that, you know, at some point I want to have my own. You know, that's always been in the forefront of my mind, and that's always been my main priority and main goal. But at the same time, as life happens, you have responsibilities, right? So you have a family, you know, you have children, and, you know, I've always kind of played it safe a lot. Like, you know, I got to make sure I don't want to jump out the window and just start a business with all this risk and so forth and so on, because I know I have responsibilities. So, but at the end of the day, I always knew that it's important to me to have something, to have a legacy, to have something that I could pass down. And also, I want to be in position to where my children see me in that light, to where they see that I've created something from nothing. So that inspires them to do the same. It doesn't have to be in the transportation industry. It could be, you know, making dresses, or, you know, making slime like my daughter does sometimes, you know what I mean? Like whatever, like my older daughter, she likes to make, you know, soaps, like organic soaps and stuff like
that. Oh, cool.
You know, so that mindset has inspired them to just want to do, want to create their own, because ultimately, if you don't, and from my perspective, ownership and entrepreneurship is just everything, man. In this life, it's like you only have one life. Why build somebody else's dreams when you could just build your own, man? And that's just the way I look at it. You know, so that was like always my driving force. And I started out really, really early in entrepreneurship. I've had plenty of different mentors and people that I've, and that's another thing. I'm a great follower. You know what I mean? I've had people who I've been under and who I've looked to for guidance, and I have no problem. I have no problem humbling myself and learning from others. You know what I mean? I have no problem being second, third, fourth, fifth. I'll play my role. You know, even right now today, you know, if there's an opportunity and I see that it's something that I want to get into, and there was somebody who was the figurehead or whatever the case may be in a leadership position, I don't mind going under them and learning. You know what I mean? That's just always That's always the way I've been, because to me, you can never stop learning. Once you stop learning, you die. You know what I'm saying? You don't evolve anymore. So I'm always looking to evolve, always looking for new opportunities. And, you know, I guess that's just been something that's always been in me from a kid. Like, I've always just had an entrepreneurial spirit. I've always just been looking at different ideas. Like, I have notepads and cue cards of just ideas, man. Like, if I showed you some of my books, you know, just ideas, I just write it out. I mean, you could talk to my wife. She thinks I'm crazy because I randomly just come up with ideas all the time. Like, the other day I was talking to her about an idea for like water bottles, like how to conserve, like, you know, water. Like, people waste water. Like, we have like 50 water bottles throughout the house, and they're all like half drunken. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I'm like, man, there has to be a solution for all this water bottle waste that we're doing. So I'm like configuring this like little machine where you stick the water bottle in it and the cap comes off and the cap has a color and all. And I'm just thinking about this. She's like, nah, babe, it's not going to work. And I'm like, you sure? And I'm like, all right, I'm going to write it down anyway. That's what I do. I'm always dreaming. You know what I'm saying? I'm always dreaming of new ideas. And it's like, even if I don't do it today, you know, maybe I'll do it later down the road, but I always want to make sure I have it written down somewhere. Like, that's my thing. I don't want to ever lose it. So I might, like, my notes on my iPhone are full of just different ideas and stuff like that. And that's just what I do, man. I'm just a big dreamer, man.
That energy, that fun, positive, creative energy is something that I really try to hone in and keep lit all the time. And I think that's one of the many reasons that you and I hit it off so well. But there's another reason that I know that's very important to you that I'd like to give you the opportunity that your perspective on your family and how family is so important to you, that even though you do have all of these entrepreneurial ideas and dreams and creations, can you talk about how the role of family plays into all of this big picture vision for you?
Man, family is, that's the anchor, man. That's number one. If things aren't right at home, then that's going to definitely translate in all other parts of your life. Right. So, you know, you have to get that right first. You know, so I'm married. So, you know, your marriage has to be on point. Your relationship with your children has to be on point. And, you know, if you can, you can't ever master that, you know, because it's an evolving thing. It always changes, always, you know, just growing and changing. And you're always learning your partner and your family members every day. But if you could be intentional with wanting to, you know, make sure you're having the best experience with your family on a daily basis, I think that translates into everything else. So I definitely put family first. Like, if, you know, I make sure things are good at home. And then together as a team, we figure out the business, you know, the business things. Like, you know, I'm not going to do a business that's not conducive to my family life. You know what I mean? And that's another important thing about entrepreneurship. If you have your own, you can, you know, kind of schedule family time and different things like that around your business. But, you know, even with the family, like, I try to involve them in everything that I'm doing. You know, like, you know, if you guys follow me on Instagram, it's at Truck and Hustle. You'll also see my wife. She's the only Miss Truck and Hustle. You'll see my daughters, Truck and Hustle Bree, Truck and Hustle Curl. Like, it's a family business, you know, even though my wife has been involved in the business with me, my kids haven't, but it's still our business, and they'll create their own extensions from that, right? Whether it doesn't have to necessarily be about trucks, because the whole truck and hustle thing is really bigger than trucking. It's a mindset, right? It's just that entrepreneurial spirit, that hustle, that grit, that determination. So, like I said, if my daughter wants to, you know, create slime or make soap on her truck and hustle page and build that community for her, you know, hopefully my audience could help her. You know, if there's somebody who watches me for trucking, they could say, hey man, I know he has a daughter and they may be the same age as that person's daughter. Hey, you know, follow his daughter. She does this. You know what I'm saying? So we're always working together as a unit to build, man, because, you know, I'm not going to be here forever. You know what I mean? So I have to instill those things in them, and I have to prepare them for life without us. You know what I'm saying? Without myself, without their mom. So, you know, it's family is number one, man. That's the number one thing, man. God and family, you know. And then after that, we get into business and all that. And all that is fun, but ultimately, if you have nobody to share that with, if you don't have if you're not happy at home. I mean, we see people with millions and billions of dollars every day, you know, take themselves out of here because they're not happy. you know, and a lot of times it could be family things. It could be things that happened to them within their family. It could be issues that they've went through. We don't know what happened in a person's life, you know, that causes them whatever trauma that they go through. But we do realize that money's not everything. I mean, that's just not a cliche. It really isn't. You know what I mean? And once you kind of get that, once you understand that money isn't everything, and you start putting things in you start prioritizing things, you know, like family, like your spirituality, whatever your spirituality is. I mean, I to me, it's like whatever is good for you is good for me. You know, I believe in a creator, and if you call that person Allah, Buddha, Jesus, whatever, it doesn't matter to me. But as long as you believe in something, you know what I mean? You know that there's a higher power. You know, it's cool. And if you don't, that's cool with me too. I could get on the level with anybody. You know what I mean? To be honest with you, like the way I look at it is like, you know, what as long as you ain't out here hurting people, right? You know what's right and wrong. Like if you just walk up to a stranger and hit him in the face for no reason, like your intuition tells you that wasn't right. You don't need a book to tell you that, right? You know, if somebody's in need and you help them, your intuition tells you that was the right thing to do. You don't need a book to tell you that. So we're all born with intuitive powers that we know. We have that God or whatever in us already from birth, you know? So I think if you just listen to those things, just try to be a good person, that's what's most important, man. Those are the values that are most important, just being a good person. And I believe that if you're good and you put good out into the world, it's going to reciprocate and it's going to come right back to you. Going back to my point earlier where I said, you know, every job I've ever had, every opportunity I've ever had, it's all just come to me. I don't really have to ask or look for nothing. And anytime one door has closed for me, another door is open. You know, even for example, you know, with what my current, you know, business, what I'm doing now with this podcast, right? You know, I end up selling my business that you were a part of in the beginning stages of that. I sold my business and, you know, it was $1 million business. I sold it. I got out of it because my partner and myself, we didn't have the same vision, right? So, you know, some people will be like, man, you just sold $1 million business. This business generates all this money. But my peace of mind was more important than all of that, right? So I left behind money for peace of mind. And in doing that, number one, did I not create another business? But number two, I also created this podcast, which has given me so much connection, so much exposure, and so much more opportunities that from a financial standpoint, the potential is so much greater than what I was doing before. And that door opened because I felt like I did the right thing. I didn't chase the money. I chased the value. You know what I'm saying? Like value was more important to me. It wasn't about the money. I leave money on the table every time when it comes to value. If I'm not aligned with you, if we're not on the same page, I don't want any of that negative energy, any of that karma coming onto me by osmosis, man. I don't need that. You could keep that and I'm going to move on and I'll just bow out because I already know that I have that favor. You know what I mean? And that's what I call it. It's like favor. You have that favor because you've been trying to put good into the world. And of course, I'm not perfect. I haven't done everything perfect in my whole life, but my intentions are always good. You know, that's the key. A lot of people, you know, people have bad intentions and that's evil. You know, I always have good intentions. It may not work out the way I want it to work out, but, you know, I will never steal from anybody. You know what I'm saying? I will never cheat anybody. I'm gonna cheat myself before I cheat you. You know what I'm saying? That's the way I look at things in every relationship. So people kind of see that in me, you know, I feel. And, you know, because of that, you know, people trust you. People want to work with you. People want to do things with you. And people want to align themselves with you because you have good character. You know, so ultimately, even if nothing comes out of it financially, at least you could always sleep at night. You know what I'm saying? Knowing that, man, you've done good. You put good out into the world. And even if the blessings don't come to you, it's going to come to your offspring. It'll come to your kids. It'll come to your family. In some way, it'll be reciprocated.
And that's where the core things that I'm taking out of everything that you just said is there's a couple things. One, the value of your relationships, the value of your family, and just the good intentions of the things that you're doing and how that translates into your relationships and also into your sense of success. I think that's very important that you said it and it was in there. And I want to emphasize this so people don't miss it, that for you and for a lot of people, it's not just about the money. The sense of success and fulfillment, that's a powerful word. The sense of fulfillment is coming from a deeper place, and you recognize that it comes from good, healthy relationships, making sure your priorities are in order, and maybe passing on an opportunity that at the time seemed like it was the right fit, but then slowly you learn that it's not exactly in line with your core values or where you envision your life going, or how it could directly affect your family. And I think that plays a huge part into why your show is successful. And given our relationship, I have a little bit more insight than most people do, but you really do have a successful show. So can we transition a little bit and talk about how you as an entrepreneur took your creative thought process, you went on a journey, you found this niche, and some practical steps, some easy steps that people can do to kind of find their own path and kind of take an idea and start to grow it.
All right, so let's get into the podcast. So number one, I'm a huge fan of podcasting, right? I come from the school of Pat Flynn, John Lee Dumas. I've been listening to podcasts since podcasts were listening to themselves, man. Like, I've always been into this medium. And the reason why is because I feel like you connect with people on such a deep level. I'll tell you a story. Pat Flynn is a big podcaster, right? And Pat Flynn probably wouldn't be like the ideal person who I'd like kind of like look up to or like even like maybe even pay attention to in the street, right? But I went to one of his events one day, and this was in the beginning of my podcast when I was first starting.
I didn't know you actually went.
Yeah, I went. I went to one of the events, and he had an event over in Philadelphia. And, he was there. John Lee Dumas was there. Pat Flynn was there. A lot of other, podcasters were there. And, he was talking. And afterwards, they did like a meet and greet. And, everybody was talking to him. Obviously, he didn't have a chance to breathe. So when I got my opportunity, I went over to him. I was like, yo, Pat, you're like, you're the man. You don't understand. Like, I've been listening to you for like 8 years. And he's just looking at me like, how can I serve you? How can I help you? You know how Pat is, right? Like, he's super like humble. But it was like, I was like, I had to catch myself. And I'm like, am I fanning out over this podcaster right now? Like, what am I doing right now? Right. But it's because I had been listening to this man's voice for so long, right? Like his voice as like some people may listen to him and they may find it like boring or whatever the case may be. But either way, I've been listening to his voice over the years. And he's become like a part of my life. Like, he's almost
trust
ingrained.
Trust factor was way high.
Right. He's almost ingrained in my DNA. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, yo, like Pat, whatever. And then like, I tell him about my podcast, and this is when I'm just starting it. I didn't even really know the direction. I think at the time I was going to call my podcast Trucking Idiot. That was going to be Trucking Idiot. And I was like, yeah, Pat, I got this idea for trucking, and it's going to be called Trucking Idiot. He's like, oh yeah, I like that name. That's a good name. He's like, stick with that. And I'm like, all right. So I didn't stick with that, obviously. But either way, I'm saying that to say, even though Pat and I may be from different worlds or different backgrounds, because of that podcasting medium, we had a commonality there. And I was able to, we identify with each other on a certain, or I identify with him, or because he didn't know me, on a certain level. And like you said, that trust factor was huge. Like, anything if Pat says, use this program, I'm going to use it. If he says, get this software, I'm going to get it. It's just so deep, because over the time, he hasn't failed me yet. You know what I mean? So I don't get to listen to Pat as much as I used to, because I'm too busy creating like I did, but that's my man. So, when I started realizing that about the median of podcasting, I realized a few things. I realized that, it's still early, right? When I started my podcast, it was last year, July 2019. Probably about the last 2 years prior to that, you've started seeing a lot of podcasts, be created. Like, people are just creating podcasts. You'll see everyone from Oprah Winfrey as a podcast. And, now people are starting to use it. You know what I'm saying? But the audience still wasn't really there yet. Like, there's still a lot of people who don't even know how to get onto a podcast, or don't even know that the podcast app is preloaded in your iPhone. You know what I mean? They don't know where to find podcasts at. So, I knew it was a huge opportunity, and I wanted to get in early on something that hadn't really been oversaturated yet, right? Because there's maybe like 500,000 podcasts at the time, and I think now there's like over a million. But that was compared to like 500 million YouTube channels. You know what I'm saying? So like, when you look at it, it's like, yeah, on YouTube land, the audience is a lot huger. But if you could start this podcast and you could fish in this small pond, you're not going to get as many fish, but the fish that you do get, they all coming on your hook. You know what I'm saying? Because number one, they're already sold on the idea of podcasting because they're there, right? And then number two, you could be the first person in that space, and you could pretty much lead that charge. And just like now where you have a Joe Rogan of YouTube, right? He's a podcaster as well, but he's huge on YouTube. But a lot of podcasters, they do YouTube. So it's kind of like they interact with each other now. They interchange with each other. But I wanted to be the first person in the space, you know, for doing what I do in that space. So I was like, man, I think podcasting is dope. I love conversations. I love talking to people. I'm very inquisitive. I love asking questions. And, you know, especially getting into entrepreneurship, I knew a lot of other people who had trucking companies and a lot of people who had different businesses. And I would have conversations and ask them about, like, you know, the details of their businesses all the time, just, you know, more so selfishly, because I want to learn for myself to see if I could, like, add that feature on or, you know, do that as well. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, so how do you do that? How much does it cost to do that? What's the insurance for that? Da, da, da. So these are the questions that I would have and the conversations that I would have with people. And one day I just had the light bulb moment where I'm like, man, I would love to start a podcast. I'm always thinking about that because I listen to podcasts so much, but I don't know what to start a podcast about. I'm in this trucking industry. I've been in this industry for 18 years, and I talk to all these entrepreneurs and we have these conversations, but I don't know how to get those conversations out to the world to help other people. So now those two things intersect, and I'm like, man, you know what would be dope? If I did a podcast talking to, basically let people be flies on the walls of these conversations that I'm having with these trucking industry people, because I'm sure there's a whole ton of people who would gain a lot of value out of it. You know what I'm saying? So I said, all right, this is interesting. And automatically I knew it would work. It's like, I knew that it was an underserved niche. You know what I'm saying? I know there's a lot of people who work in the trucking industry, right? Like I said, from drivers to administrative, dispatchers, freight brokers, a lot of people who own businesses. I know it's just a huge industry, right? 3.5 million, according to statistics, you know, drivers alone in the U.S.
And you said it was like a $700-800 billion with a B dollar industry.
With a B, $800 billion industry, right? So you look at that, you look at all the drivers alone, and then you start looking at all the different segments, all the different groups, and then you start looking at all the administrative people who's not even counted as drivers. These are millions and millions of people who are interested in this industry, right? Or interested in this business, but maybe they've been working in it and maybe they want to get into entrepreneurship, or maybe they never thought about entrepreneurship or never thought it was possible, because they thought it was too much money to get started or whatever the case may be. But I knew from my own experience that it's not hard at all. It's just a matter of just doing it. You know what I'm saying? Because I had those same feelings like, man, the barrier is too high. How am I going to pay for this? How am I going to pay for that? And I literally started my business on credit cards. You know, I didn't have any startup money. I literally maxed out all my credit cards. You know, I did it smart, you know, and I could tell you about that. But I did it smart to where I wouldn't have to like pay everything all back at one time, and I wouldn't have too much interest or whatever the case may be, because I had great credit to where I was able to start a business. So I creatively funded my own business. You know what I mean? And it's like, those are the things that where I thought the barrier to entry was so high, but I realized, nah, man, it's not that high. All you got to do is, you know, number one, learn, figure out what the business model is and connect yourself with the right people and just get started. You know what I'm saying? So I figured out, and I feel like I'm a decently smart person. So it's like, if I'm having those doubts, I know other people are, you know, so I wanted to be that bridge for people who are having those doubts. So I could say, man, nah, it's not that hard, man. It's not that difficult. And not just me. Let me show you a whole bunch of other people that's doing the same thing. And let me show you that, you know, this person was just homeless last year and now they got 10 trucks. You know what I'm saying? Or this person, you know, had this traumatic event happen in their childhood and now they have a freight brokerage and they're bringing in six figures a month. Like, yo, it's possible. All you got to do is just take those necessary initial steps to get it done. You know what I'm saying? So that was like that whole concept breathed life into me. And I just said, man, you know, I think this would be great. This would be an awesome opportunity for me to, like, number one, help people. Because I love talking about entrepreneurship. I love, as you know, we'd have conversations all the time. Like, you would come in, you were working at that place, and I'd be like, man, why don't you start your own this? Or why don't you do that? And it'll be some like simple thing. I'd be like, yo, just do this and you know, I think you're doing like ties at the time or something like that. And I'm like, yo, like, why don't you? And I'm just always trying, like, I always want to like try to help people creatively come up with ideas. I just have a passion for doing that. So I just took all these things that were my passion, helping people from a really, really genuine place and really trying to, and like, because again, like when we talk about legacy, we talk about, you know, life, like you're only as impactful as like the ideas and the thoughts and the things that you leave behind when you're not here anymore. You know what I'm saying? So when I'm gone, you know, if somebody could say, yo, you know, because of RJ, I did this, or, you know, I wouldn't even have started my this if I didn't hear that, or that, that's what it's about, because that's how you live forever. You know what I'm saying? That's how you live forever. When somebody could touch you in that way to where they impacted your life, they made you make a shift, a transition, they made you go in a different direction, you live forever because you're ingrained in their DNA now. And they'll tell those stories about your legend forever. So as we know, we're here for just a blimp. Like, you know, in the grand scheme of things, when you look at life, our 100 years or whatever, like let's say if we're lucky enough to live 100 years, man, when you look at how long the world's going to be here and how long it's already been here, that's nothing, bro. It's nothing, right? But the way you become timeless is through your work and through your impact, through the people that you help. So if I have a podcast and I have a platform that reaches, if it's hundreds, if it's thousands, if it's hundreds of thousands, whatever, those hundreds could reach another 100 and that 100 could reach another 100. And I'm on the compound effect of that is so huge, I'll never even really know the people that I touched. But I did. I touched you. You know what I'm saying? So
I could definitely say, like, I'm definitely a direct beneficiary of RJ's passion and drive, and to give you like the shout out that I always give you in our private texts,
right?
Like, RJ was one of those people that got me over the edge to finally take some action and to do this. Like, this show is a direct result of number of people that I can count on less than one hand, and you are one of them.
For sure. But the thing is that, like I even told you, you motivated me too. Because you started before me. And when you started, I'm like, oh man, Ryan is going, I'm behind. You know, I'm not telling you that. And I'm not like, I'm not telling you what my thoughts are, but deep down I'm thinking that because we're talking about this journey together and you're like already 10 shows in. And I'm like, damn, I got to get started. You know what I'm saying? So you're motivating me. And then I start calling you. I'm asking you about what software are you using? What mic are you using? What, you know, whatever. You know, so we're bouncing off of each other, and that's what it's about, man. That's what it's about, inspiring each other and helping each other. And, you know, so that's what I really wanted to do. Like my life's work, what I want to be known as is somebody who just helped people, man. Just like somebody who inspired people, somebody who helped people, you know, gave you the tactical information as well as the inspiration, because it's both. It's a combination of education and inspiration, because you could sit here and read a bunch of books and listen to a bunch of podcasts and not ever get off your ass and ever do anything. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
you have that analysis paralysis. Like, you just, when am I going to start? And you just never do it, right? So I want to inspire you, and I also want to give you the tactical steps that you could actually do towards getting there. And the thing is, I know I'm not an expert. I'm not an expert at anything. I know people. I'm an expert not even expert at that, but I feel like my strong suit is just communicating. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm good at communicating. I'm good at network. I'm good at bringing people together. I'm good at putting people together. Like, if I see, you know, someone and I know somebody who could help with that, I'm good at making those introductions. Like, that's what I do. I network. I bring people together. And as a result of that, I get put in different positions and different opportunities, and the blessings come back. You know what I'm saying? So that's what it is. And that's what life's about, man. Like, it's like the barter system, man. You know what I mean? It's like we just barter off of each other's life. Like, the most important currency right now is relationship currency, man. It's more powerful and more valuable than anything out there. Relationship currency. Anybody listening to that? Build your relationships. Be a solid person. Be a person of character. Be somebody that everybody says the same thing about you when you're not around. You know what I'm saying? Don't be that guy that when somebody says, "Hey, you know this Ryan guy?" Like, "Oh man, that guy, he's an idiot." You know, you don't be that guy. Treat everybody kind. Treat everybody fair. That don't mean you got to be a yes man. But just be fair. You know what I mean? Being a good person doesn't always mean being nice necessarily. It's just being right. It's just being, you know, doing what you know is right and having good intentions for people, right? So like that's what it's about. And by doing that, you're going to build relationships and through these relationships, because you can't do it alone. You can't do anything alone. What, even if you're an entrepreneur, you need customers, right? So you're never really an entrepreneur. You're always working for somebody. So whatever you're doing, you're always going to need other people to support what you do and to believe in you in order for you to get anywhere in life, right? So that's the most important thing. So you could be a prick, whatever, but it's not going to get you far. And the people who are, even if they are, they've gotten to a certain level, they're probably not happy. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's always something, man. So my thing is just be good, be kind, be right, be fair with people. And everything else will fall into place, man. The money will fall into place. The relationships will fall into place. Business will fall into place. All that good stuff. So that's what Truck and Hustle is about, man. When you go on my podcast, you're going to feel a little bit of me. You know what I'm saying? You'll hear music. I'm into music. I used to be like a hip hop artist back in the day when I was younger. I took that piece of me. You know, the way I talk and the way I identify people is just me. I'm not trying to be something I'm not. I ask the same questions that I would ask or I have the same conversations that I would have, you know, if we were offline. You know what I mean? I try to make it really comfortable because at the end of the day, my show might not be for everybody, but everybody's invited. You know what I'm saying? I want everybody's invited. Everybody could listen and I want come one, come all. And if you dig what we're doing over here, then, you know, your family, I call them the Hustle Fam. You know, it's all Hustle Fam, man.
I think that's what you just said is really important for me to emphasize, is that even though people may or may not be able to relate to the trucking industry, this is the reason why I wanted you on the show, is because you have highlighted so many of the great things that I'm so glad that you said without even me really like prompting you to, just your core values, your perspective, your drive, your motivation, your perspective on relationship, your ideas on the currency of relationships and the legacy impact that you can have just by taking one step. And how that can inspire 5, 10, 15, hundreds, thousands, hundreds of thousands. Like, we'll never necessarily know. I mean, we hope that we have a big impact, but we may not necessarily know what that impact is. But just as long as your core roots are coming from a good place, then everything that you're doing is going to come from a good place. So before we close out, I want to make sure that I gave you the opportunity to tell people where they can find you, where they can connect with you. And from everything that you said, like, I know I could bring you back on and we could do like a class on just relationships, or just a class on entrepreneurship, or just a class on business negotiations. But for the time being, where do we want to send people for you?
All right. I'm on all social media. I spend more time in certain places. So, Instagram at Truck and Hustle, and it's TRUCK. N, the letter N, Hustle, HUSTLE. On Facebook, Truck and Hustle. YouTube, Truck and Hustle TV. Twitter, I'm just getting on Twitter. I'm so late, but I just got my Twitter started, Truck and Hustle Pod. And I mean, you know, you can just go on Google and type in Truck and Hustle, whatever. You'll find the different videos, different things I've been working on. So yeah, man, that's where you find me. And on LinkedIn, if you want to connect and do business, you can find me Ramel RJ Watley. You can find me on LinkedIn. And listen, man, I want to network. I want to build. You know, I am exactly who I say I am, man. Anybody who reaches out to me, I hear everybody out. I want it all. Like, you know, just let's talk about it. Let's figure it out. If we could do something together, I'm always open. I'm always willing to do business and network, as long as you're a high value, high character person, man. That's what I'm about. I'm about good energy and good people. You know, if that's not you, then you can stay out of my messages and my DMs and all that. But if that is you, please come find me, because that's who I want to connect with for real.
Hey man, I'm so glad that I got connected with you and the perfect timing that it happened and just the relationship that we have. And I'm so glad that I could have the chance to highlight you and share this limitless wealth of perspective and knowledge and interpersonal relationship skills that you have that I think are so valuable for people.
I appreciate that, bro. And I just say, man, you're doing an awesome job. Like, I'm just sitting here listening to you. Like, when you recap what I said, you're saying it better than I can say it myself, man. Like, you really have a gift, a gift of communication, man. And you know, I just want you to keep on doing what you're doing, because it's going to pay off for sure. Like, you know, when times get hard, just think about me and just think about me saying, man, you really have a gift for what you're doing, and just keep on doing it, because it's going to pay off for sure.
Oh, thank you so much.
No doubt, my brother.
There's a few times during the interview that I think RJ's core values, perspectives, and beliefs really shine through to let you as a listener get to know him a little better. There were so many great takeaways from an entrepreneurship stance, a self-development stance, and an interpersonal relationship stance, so I hope you got some value from our conversation. Be sure to check out the show notes either by tapping on your phone's screen or scrolling down if you're interested in seeing RJ's info. And as always, I really appreciate your time, and I hope you'll come back next week for some more amazing content. Have a great day, stay safe, be well, and I'll talk to you soon.